good to be in God's house tonight. Open up your Bibles, the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter number 6. We'll continue. Two Wednesday nights ago, we were preaching on Gideon. Started in the life of Gideon. We're going to continue that tonight. And then any other Sunday or Wednesday night I preach, I'll probably continue unless the Lord leads me in a different way. We'll kind of go through the life of Gideon here. And I tell you, for Sunday morning, I had a different message picked out earlier in the week. And about somewhere around the middle of the week, the Lord had laid on my heart to preach on discouragement and encouragement too, obviously, there at the end. But the Lord laid it on my heart, and it was just amazing how God works. And then Sunday night, Brother Bob Jones came and preached, and he preached on pretty much the same exact thing. And in fact, not only that, he went to the same exact text in 1 Samuel chapter 30. So we call that a God wink, in the Bible. We call that a God wink, and God kind of winks at you and says, that was it, So and those are always good when God lets you know, hey, you listened, amen. And not that I'm taking any credit, I'm just saying it's amazing how God works and uses things like that in our lives. But two Wednesday nights ago, we were looking at the beginning of the life of Gideon there and starting there, and we met Gideon. He was the man that God was choosing to deliver the nation of Israel. If you remember, he was hiding from the Midianites. If you remember, he was afraid. He was hiding. It was a really rough time. It was a time of poverty. It was a time of sorrow. It was a time where they didn't have a lot of money. If you remember, he was threshing the wheat by hand, and we talked about the fact that the way they would do it normally in the good times, they would go on top of a really big hill where they'd have the threshing floor, and the threshing floor they would take an ox and it would run over top the wheat and all the grain and all that, and it would break it all up. And then they would take it and they'd throw it in the air. And because they were high, they were up on top of a big hill, that's where the most wind will be. So they would throw it up in the air, and all the bad stuff you don't want would blow away, and all the grain and all the good stuff would fall back to the ground. Here you find Gideon. He's hiding, threshing the wheat by hand. There's not very much of it. He's fearful of the Midianites and what they're going to do. They've already came and burned all their crops or most of their crops and burned, taken everything from them, and they're going through this horrible time. And we know the angel of the Lord came up to Gideon and said, hey, I'm going to use you to deliver the nation of Israel. Gideon was fearful. He was afraid. He said, no, I can't do that. I don't believe it. And in fact, God reassured him a few times, hey, no, this is really me. You're really going to do it. And he kept questioning God and, saying, God, I can't do it. I'm the least in my own family. My family's poor. I'm a nobody. Not only is my family poor, but I'm the least in my own family. I'm a nobody, basically. God, how are you going to use me? And I'm thankful that God uses nobodies, amen, for his service. But how are you going to use me? And he goes, fine, Lord, I need a sign. I need a sign that I'm even talking to you. And he says, Lord, will you tarry here? And God says, hey, I'll wait right here. And I preached about it. I'm thankful that sometimes when we get out of God's will, God is always waiting right there for us. And he's waiting there for us. And so we know Gideon left. He went and made his mixture up there. He brought his offering, his present was what he called it, back to the Lord. And we know that the Lord reached out his rod and touched it. And we know it immediately was consumed with fire. And because of that, we talked about the rod and how God, the point of the rod and the staff. Why did he point out the staff? Because we know that he's the shepherd. And we know that to the shepherd, the staff to the sheep is comfort. It's a way that the sheep feel comfort when they're afraid. It's a way that the sheep are led by the shepherd. He takes that staff and he'll lead them and guide them. And we talked about how we're thankful for our great shepherd that leads us and guides us when we need the help. So we talked about that, and we finally left where he finally said, okay, God, fine, I'll do it. He called the place of that place, verse 24 of Judges chapter number 6, he called that place Jehovah Shalom, which means peace, and he named it the Lord our peace, rather, and because he finally had found peace, he knew that the Lord was going to deliver them. And so then here we are, we get to verse number 25, and that's really where we're at tonight, and we want to talk about tonight the cultivation of Gideon. And, here Gideon is going to be taking a small step here towards really a bigger goal that God has, and God is going to use him. And he's really going to start out small here. And we have to understand that God a lot of times will try us in the small things to later see if we're able to handle the big things. And, you know, a lot of times people in our lives, we want to just jump in. A lot of maybe younger Christians want to jump in. They get saved, and you've heard the expression, want to charge hell, the squirt gun, whatever. But, you know, kind of ready for the big time, if you will. Not, I don't mean the big time. You understand what I'm saying. But a lot of times God will try us in the little battles, and he'll give us little things to begin with to try our faith and to see where we're at. And because, you know, the old expression, you know, you gotta crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. And it's really no different in our Christian faith and our Christian life. We must do that. And here the Lord is going to develop Gideon and get him ready for the big thing that he has for him and develop him. And, you know, a lot of times when we're a young Christian, you know, the Bible says that we're babies. You know, we're babies in Christ and we're getting on the milk of the Word. And kind of the same thing here. Here is kind of, we're starting out with a small battle. We're learning here, and if you will, Gideon is entering boot camp. He's getting ready to start his boot camp, if you will. And here what we're going to learn about is how to help navigate through these times of spiritual development. And Gideon's no different. If you would, stand in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll start here in verse number 25 of Gideon chapter, Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 25. And we'll begin reading there. It says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of that city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And verse number 31, And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him put to death, whilst thou it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this evening. And Lord, we just pray for your help and your guidance and your wisdom. And Lord, we just look at the life of Gideon here tonight. And Lord, we need your help. And we want to glean a few things from his life. And Lord, that we may be able to leave here a better Christian and Lord, a better worker for you. And Lord, how we can start being faithful in the small things. And Lord, we know that when we do that, you'll bring bigger things on in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, hide me behind the cross. And Lord, use me in a great and mighty way, only for your honor and only for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So we go back to verse number 25. And here we just, like I said, Gideon just got done getting that victory. Finally, trusting in God, okay, God, you're going to use me, you're going to deliver, you're, you know, to deliver from the hand of the Midianites. We get to verse 25, and right away it says, and it came to pass the same night. Here, right away, God gives a commandment to Gideon, and the Bible says, in that same night, right away, immediately, Gideon gets going. Right away, Gideon starts to serve the Lord. Right away, Gideon starts to do what God had told him to do. And can I say that God, when God calls us to do something, when God has a plan for our life, God isn't, you know, waiting around and say, well, whenever you get a chance to, or whenever, you know, you get time, or whenever it's readily available for you to serve me or to do this or follow my direction. Can I say, when God calls us to do something, when God calls us to serve him, he wants us to do it now. Amen? He's not waiting for us a later time. He's not waiting for that. Here, Gideon realized that. Gideon said, okay, Lord, that same night, here we go, Gideon's going to serve God. And can I say, God's time is valuable, and we don't know how much time we have on this earth, and we have to serve him while we still can. Gideon realized that. Here, Gideon goes, and we're going to find a specific commandment of the Lord that God is going to give to him. And look at verse number 25. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, watch this, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. He comes up to Gideon and says, hey, take the second one. Why that is and what I've studied and why that is probably because we know that his family, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and we're going to look a little bit more today, but we know that his family worshipped Baal. They were idol worshippers. They were not serving God. They were idol worshippers. And we know that, and in fact, when he said that back in, it was verse number 15, he said, my family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. More than likely, Gideon, even though Gideon wasn't exactly where he needed to be with God yet, it looks like Gideon is probably the only one in his family serving God. Because he said, hey, not only is my family poor, he's going to kind of a financial thing. Not only is my family poor, he's kind of saying, you know, we're like low class. You can't use me, God, which is, you know, we know is nonsense. But he goes, not only that, but I'm the least in my family. And why he's saying that is more than likely his family had kicked him out or his family probably didn't talk to him very much because he was still serving the God of Israel. And they were serving Baal. They were serving false gods. But Gideon was serving the real and true God. But going back to the second bullock, from what I've studied, more than likely what happened is his dad had probably already sacrificed or had spotted the first one. And the first one wasn't acceptable for a sacrifice because it was probably used somewhere along the line or going to be used or had spotted for Baal. And so he says, hey, grab the second one, the clean one, and use that. The God of Baal, actually, back in that time, it was known as the God of fertility. It was the fertility God. And what they would do, they would praise it, number one, not only fertility for children, and that would be one of the things, they would praise it for, you know, when they would get pregnant, they would praise Baal, and oh, he blessed us, and we have, you know, we've had a baby. But not only that, but fertility as far as food and crops. And they would, you know, they would pray to Baal and Lord bless and have a fertile crop, or not Lord, Baal bless our crops and bless that. And that was what Baal was known for. He was the fertility God. And what I'm saying is here, a lot of times in our Christian life, and kind of tie this a little bit together with the second one. A lot of times in our Christian life, we'll go through life where people will get saved maybe a little bit later in life. And what they'll say is, you know what, I can't be used of God because of the first half of my life. And they'll say, yeah, but you don't know my past. You don't know the first half of my life and all the things I've done. And can I say, God doesn't care about the first half. If we haven't lived like we should have lived for the first half, God's not worried about that. He'll take the second half, amen? I'm thankful we serve a God of second chances and third and fourths and fifths and hundreds, amen? And I'm thankful we serve that God. And here, I believe Gideon, here he's finally getting, he's getting fine what to do. And God is giving him an instruction on what to do. And here we find, he says, take the second bullock in verse number 25. And then we're going to find the instructions. Here's what you got to do. Look in verse 25. And throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So here we find out a very specific task. That here's what you got to do, Gideon. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to throw down the altar of the Baal, the god of Baal. Throw him down. Throw down that idol. Then what I want you to do is cut down that grove. You have to understand, normally when they would build these altars or where they would have their god, the little g god, what they would do is they build a grove. They would have a grove around that area, and they would build it up. Not only that, we'll get to this in a minute, but it would be built usually on top of a hill. It would be built somewhere where typically, no matter where you were typically in the city or no matter where you were in that where they lived, you could see the grove. You could see the altar. That way, no matter where you're at, you could look up. So typically, it'd be in a higher up place. That way, you could look up and you could worship. You could bow and pray up no matter where you were at. But he says, here, now I want you to take out Baal. I want you to cut down that grove and then take that wood, take that second bullock and make an offering unto me and built an altar to Jehovah, give an offering. And God gave him a specific plan of how he wanted to do it. Not only number one, he says, hey, I want you to take out that altar Baal. As I said, they would be built on a prominent hill. It wouldn't be a hidden thing. It wouldn't be like you would have to go and travel through the woods and find a little cove where they finally were worshiping Baal. It was something that was open, and it was something that they would do openly and pray openly, and it would be something that they would kind of flash before everybody else. And I'm thankful. And can I say, what we need to do as believers is we need to, you know, the world is not ashamed of worshiping their God, if you will. The world's not ashamed of it. You know, people, you go to the gas station, you're filling up the pump, and they'll come into the gas station with their music turned up to 500 and blasting the music. They don't care that you're standing. They're not saying, oh, there might be Christians at the pump. I better turn down my radio. They don't care about that. But can I say, I'm thankful that we serve a God, not only that is a God of second chances, but a God that we can serve, a God that we can go on and we can give our life to, that we don't have to hide about. We don't have to be afraid to, hey, worship our God. We need to go out and serve our God, and you know what? Not be ashamed. Too many people today are ashamed of Christ. Too many people today are hiding their faith, and they go to work, and no one would even know at work that they're a Christian. No one would even know they go to church, because they go to work and they go out about their daily life, and they don't let anybody know. They don't tell anybody, and they don't proclaim Christ. They don't even have a testimony of being saved. That's a shame, folks. It's a shame. People ought to know, hey, they're a Christian. And you don't have to go in and blast it to them. You don't have to go in and make a big scene and, I need your attention. You know, everybody at work, I'm a Christian and I stand for, you don't have to do that. Just do it by the way you live. Do it by the way they're going to notice, hey, they don't talk like we talk. Hey, they don't act like we act. They don't talk like we talk. They'll notice, hey, there's a difference about them. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to do as believers. So here we find out that God... Here we find out there's altar. He says, take it down, and he gives a specific plan. And let me tell you, each and everybody here, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. You say, for me? Yeah. Everybody here, each individual here, everybody, every Christian on this planet, God has a plan for us. And God gave Gideon a plan. He said, here's the plan. Here's what I want you to do. And that plan, let me tell you, God doesn't broad brush our lives. He doesn't say, hey, you know what? I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of an idea of what I want you to do. God will give a specific plan on what he wants us to do. And we need to follow that. How do we follow that? By being in communication with God. By listening to God. By in prayer. By reading of the word. We have to have that communication line open between God and us to have that line. So here, number one, throw it on the altar of Baal. God's command was very specific. Number two, God's command was spiritual. God demonstrated his superiority over Baal. God could have done it himself, but God chose to use people for his service. You ever think about that? God used Gideon to go knock down Baal, to go knock out an idol, right? But God could have destroyed that thing. God could have took that thing and threw it into the ocean and had it bury it, you know, 5,000 feet below the bottom of the sea. But God didn't do that, did he? He said, you know what? I want to use somebody to fulfill the purpose. And in our lives, God will always use people to fulfill his purpose. We think of the lost colt. We think of the donkey that I preached about. I think it might have been my first message I think I preached here. It was right at Palm Sunday. And we talked about the donkey and how the Lord sent his two disciples to go get this donkey. And he said, hey, go over into a different village. And we talked about that, how, you know, sometimes it's going to take work. The Lord could have had the donkey, could have been right from that village. It could have been around the block. But he says, no, I want you to walk. And I want you to go all the way over to the other village over against you. Go all the way over there, get that donkey. And when the people say, hey, what are you doing with that donkey? We know that the donkey was a type of a lost sinner. We know that they were taken leading that colt. Or that law, a type of a sinner to Jesus, so he could be saved. That Jesus could ride it and tame that wild donkey. But he said, what did he say to tell them when they said, hey, what are you doing with that donkey? What are you doing with that lost sinner, if you will? And he says, tell them that the Lord hath a need of him. The Lord hath a need of him. And you know what? The Lord hath a need. We know the Lord hath a need of every lost person out there. God wants everyone to get saved. He wants everyone to come to repentance. But we know that people reject him. Number two, we know that, let me tell you, Christian, God hath a need of you. Does that mean God can't do it without you? Of course not. You know, I'm the firm believer that I know when God wants something done and when God has a plan, as he did here, God will get his will done. We know that, whether you do it or not. And what happens is when people, we as believers, when we don't follow God and we don't do God's will, what does God do? What does he do? He'll say, okay, fine. You don't want to do it, then I'll have somebody else get the blessing. I'll bring somebody else along and they'll get the blessing for it. We got to be careful of that. How many blessings, how many different things do we allow to get by that we could have had a blessing for? We have to be careful of that. Just like Gideon. Gideon could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm afraid, you know what would happen? God would have said, okay, I'm not going to accomplish all this that we're going to talk about here in the next couple times. I'm just not going to accomplish it. No, he would have brought up another person that would have did that. So we have to be careful that. Number two, God's command was spiritual. Number three, God's command had a reason. He said, tear down that grove. And he said, you know what, that grove, that idol is hindering your family, Gideon. I want you to go tear that down. But you know, because we know that Gideon's family was worshiping Baal. We know that it was hindering them in every way. And we have to be careful. Listen to me, Christian. We have to be careful, so careful that we do not get idols in our lives. Are you with me? We have to be careful that we don't ever let anything take preeminence over God in our lives. He says, Gideon, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go up there. Man, this Baal has been a stumbling block to your family, your father, and your family has been a stumbling block. That grove has been a stumbling block. Gideon, I want you to go up there and knock that thing over. Gideon, cut that grove out of there. Burn that wood. Get it out of here. Get it out of your lives, Gideon. We'll find out what happens here in a minute. Get it out of your lives, Gideon. Why? Because it was a stumbling block to their family. We have to be careful as parents, as grandparents, that we don't ever let a stumbling block, we don't ever let an idol come into not only our lives, but into our kids' lives. I've seen way too many parents and grandparents get too into, I'm all for sports and different things and all these different things. I think those are great. I love them. And it's okay, you know, it's okay, you know, I have a Sunday here, a Sunday there, whatever it is, vacations, those are all good things. But when something becomes a stumbling block where it's a reoccurring thing, there's a problem. And we have to be careful that we don't let idols, we don't let those kind of things get in our lives. Because I'm telling you, I've seen too many families and kids that I grew up with that their families cared more about baseball and cared more about sports and cared more about other things. And you look at their lives today, and those kids that I grew up with, they're not in church. They could care less about God. They have more. They're about as tattooed up as you can get. You say, well, that happened to every kid. No. But we have to make sure that we give God the preeminence in our life, that we make sure our kids know that. So number three, God's command had a reason. There's a reason God has some plans for our life. Number four, God's command was simple. God gave Gideon a job that he could do. It was a baby step. It wasn't a big job. There was a bigger job to come. We'll talk about another day. But God will, a lot of times in our life, as I said, you have to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. And God will come along and he'll give us a little baby step. It'll say, okay, I'm going to see if they're able to conquer this baby step. I'm going to see if they can do this task for me. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to clean the toilet, or I don't want to, you know, vacuum the carpet because no one will know and no one will appreciate it. No one will, you know that I did it. I don't want to be a greeter. I don't want to, whatever it might be. Or I don't want to, you know, dust off the hymn book, whatever it might be, or clean the pews because no one will know. Let me tell you, you know what will happen? When you start being faithful in those little things for God, he'll bring bigger things. And you know what? We don't serve God so other people can pat us on the back. We serve God to say thank you to him. Amen? So when we do things for him. So here, God says, here, I'm going to give you this little baby step, and I'm going to see how you do. You got to remember a few things. David, before Goliath, he faced a lion and a bear. God gave him that first challenge. He succeeded in that. And then he took on Goliath. We think of Abraham. Abraham had to leave home, leave everything he had, and move. He was almost 100 years old, and he had to move. And then what happened after that? It was a little shortly after that that God then tested him with Isaac in the altar and the sacrifice. We think of Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times. We all know that. Peter denied the Lord three times. God tested him. Peter realized after he did it, man, I really blew it. And he repented of his sin. And then you'll find out by Acts chapter number 2, man, Peter wouldn't stand for nothing. He would stand for something, but he wouldn't take nothing. He wouldn't deny the Lord. And boy, he would take a stand. And we all know Peter, he had a mouth. But he'd get up there and he'd let it rip and he'd let it shout. And he wasn't afraid of his God. He wasn't denying his God. See, because God will, he'll bring along the small things to make us ready for the bigger things. And here we find out it's no different here for Gideon. In fact, in Luke chapter 16:10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust is in the least is unjust also in much. We must be faithful in our reading of the Word. We must be faithful to God and faithful to our church and faithful in our tithing and faithful in our witnessing. Why? Because if we're faithful in the little things, God will bring on great things in our life. We get to verse number 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he was feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. The Bible says that he did as the Lord in verse number 27 and did as the Lord said unto him. We talked a little bit about that already. I'm not going to go too much into that. But he did it. He obeyed God. He did it immediately. He did what God had told him to do. And when the Lord calls us to do something, when he says jump, we say how high. Amen? We follow what God has for us to do. Too often times, we usually respond by making an excuse. Gideon did that. He said, Lord, I can't do it. And he started giving him a list of the things. God said, you don't worry. I got it. I'm going to take care of you. But God, I can't do it. I can't do it. And too often times, we react the same way. We hesitate. But finally, Gideon realized, hey, I need to follow God. And he says, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And right away, he says, okay, he did what the Lord had said unto him. And he demonstrated faith by obedience. Too often times, we do that. And we have to realize, like David said in 1 Samuel 17, the battle is of the Lord's. Amen? It is the Lord's battle. And we must fight the Lord's battle. We must fight for him. And we don't have to fear. But here we find out here in verse number 27b, the Bible says that the men of the city, he couldn't do it by day, but he did it by night. Why? Because he was fearful. Even though Gideon obeyed what God had told him to do, Gideon still had fear. Gideon was still afraid. I mean, here's a man that had talked to God. He had talked to the angel of the Lord and promised him, hey, you'll be safe and everything will be fine. And he still had fear about what would happen. He was still afraid. He said, you know what? I'm afraid of these men. I'm afraid of what will happen here. And I'm gonna do it under the privacy of darkness. I don't want to do it during the day because I'm afraid. I don't know what they'll do to me. You know what he was doing, essentially? He was obeying and he was doing right, but he still had fear, even though he shouldn't have. But you know what? Too often times, you know what we do? We have some fear in our lives. We get afraid to witness. We get afraid to witness to people. We get afraid to be a witness, be a testimony for the Lord. And like the little kid, this little light of mine, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Because too often times, we like to hide it under a bushel, don't we? We have our super Christian on Sundays, amen, and Wednesdays. But on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, we cover it up because we want to hide it under a bushel. We don't want anybody to know. So we have to be careful of that. We have to let our light shine. Folks, there's people, and they're more than not 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10 of people are probably lost. If I had to guess, the Bible says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto eternal life. Broad is the way to destruction. So we know that a lot less people that are going to heaven. There's a whole big line going to hell. And you know what? They need someone to give a light. They need someone to come along and say, hey, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to that place of the devil. You don't have to go do that. You know what? But you can go to heaven. You can get saved. And we have to be a light. We have to give it to them. We have to make sure of that. We have to let our light shine. Not be afraid. Here Gideon had fear. So here we go, he goes and he does it by night and not by day. And look at verse number 28. Basically, now that the locals, the people there, they're ticked. And we find that in verse number 28. It says, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. Here we find out the men of the villages, they're ticked. They're mad. They demanded who had done it, who had done this thing, and finally someone said, hey, they found out. I don't know how they found out, but someone probably even told on Gideon. I don't know whatever it was, but somebody probably told on him. And they came and said, hey, it was Gideon. Gideon's the one that did it. And they said, you know what? We need to put him to death. We need to take care of Gideon and take him out. And can I say, no matter what we do in our Christian life, no matter what God has called us to do, We need to be obedient in that no matter who around us is there. Gideon had fear of men. Gideon was afraid of what man could do unto him. Gideon was afraid of that. And let me tell you, a lot of times we get fearful, and I'll give this illustration. A lot of times we'll get fearful around family, about witnessing to family and doing those kind of things. And we get fearful of that. And we have to be careful of that. We should never be afraid to witness to our family members. We should never be afraid. And I know sometimes it might even actually be harder to witness to a family member because of, you know, we know the situation. We know the different things. And sometimes it might be harder. But we should never be fearful of being a witness for God, because you know what? Here, Gideon was afraid. And here the people came and they wanted to mob him. And I know if you have a testimony of being a Christian, I know that when you walk into a room or when you go into a family get-together and they know you're a Christian and they know that you don't talk like they talk and they know you don't act like they act, and everyone here probably really knows this and has experienced it, it kind of changes the mood a little bit, doesn't it? When you walk into a family get-together where if they're lost, and boy, the conversations that are going on, and then you walk in the room or your family comes in the room, it's kind of like, you know, they're here kind of thing, you know. Those weirdos, you know. And we have to be careful of that, but we have to be a witness and not have fear. And I said, we know that if I could encourage you tonight in anything is to press on, it won't be very long. Amen. Keep pressing on. Keep serving God. Keep doing what God has told you to do. And we'll get to the last and the final thing. And here's the biggest thing, really. And here's what I really want you to get. I really said all that to get to one thing. And that is in verse number 31. Why does it matter that we serve God? Why does it matter that we might be the only person in our family that's serving God? Why does it matter? Look at verse number 31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, that's Gideon's father. We know that Gideon's father was an idol worshiper. He was worshiping Baal. He wanted nothing to do with God. He was lost, if you will. And he says, stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. See what happened right there? Because of Gideon's testimony, because of Gideon's faith, Gideon's dad got saved. That's what I believe. Gideon's dad finally realized, wait a minute. If Baal is really a god, let Baal defend himself. Wait a minute. If Baal is really, let Baal defend himself? Let him take. Why are we going to kill Gideon? Let Baal do it. Let Baal pick himself up off the ground. Let Baal do this. And they all kind of go, oh, that makes sense. But because of Gideon's testimony, because Gideon continued serving God and being faithful to God, look what it did. There's a man. Gideon was an outcast. He wasn't even wanted by his family. He was the least in his family. He was kind of like, get away, there's Gideon. Here's that Christian coming around again. There's our brother Gideon, you know. Oh, there's our son Gideon, you know, the churchgoer. They went from that to finally his dad saying, well, wait a minute. If Baal is real, then let him stand up for himself. Let him do with that. Let him take care of himself. Let him take care of Gideon if Baal is really real. And I fully believe that Gideon's dad, father, got saved and finally realized, hey, you know what? This Baal thing, this false idol worship, it's nonsense. And I believe he went and got saved. You have no idea what the difference you'll make in your family, whether you're the only parent, you're the only person, you're the only teenager, you're the only whatever in your family serving the Lord. You have no idea the difference that you could make in your family's life. You have no idea. You know how many families have went from being totally, if you will, worshiping Baal, but because of one faithful person, because of one Christian that was faithful and never gave up and never wavered, never gave in to the temptation and kept their testimony, and because of their testimony, their family ended up finally maybe coming to church on an Easter Sunday or a Friends and Family Day or Christmas or whatever it might be, and they got saved, and the lives that were changed, and the generations down the line that their lives were changed, all because of one. If I can encourage you in anything, be the one. Be the one. No matter who around you No matter what the fear might be, no matter who around you is trying to discourage you or trying to get you down or trying to get you to not, why do you go to church on Wednesday night? What does it really matter? Why do you go back on Sunday night? Why do you even really go on Sunday morning? We can do this, we can do that. Be the one. Gideon was the one. And look at the difference in his life. Here you got a dad who was lost and on his way to hell. Here you have a dad that is now saying, hey, we now serve the God of Israel. Hey, I'm saved and I'm making a difference. And now I don't even know the rest of the family, but you can only imagine what that have done. Gideon knew God was calling him to do a great work. Yes, he was. But Gideon had fear, and we all have fears. But he learned that God was more powerful than the false gods. God was greater than the enemy. We have to be faithful in the small things before God opens up larger ones. Another thing we learned tonight. Number three, never let the devil discourage you. You're just one person. And a lot of times the devil will use that you're just one person as a negative. He'll say, oh, you're just one. You know what? Keep on being the one. Keep on serving God. Keep on being the difference. You have no idea what God has planned. You know why? Because God might be testing you and saying, you know what? I'm going to see if they're faithful in the small things before I can do some greater, bigger things in their life and in their family's life. God might be doing that. You got to continue being faithful in the smaller things. We have to do that. One's personal obedience can change a whole family. And lastly, Brother Randy, if you'll come, lead us in a hymn invitation. One last thing and we'll be done. Gideon had to do one thing before. Before all that happened, Gideon had to do one thing. And that one thing was he had to cut down the growth. He had to knock down the Baal, and he had to cut the grove down. Why did he have to do that? Because it was a stumbling block to the family. That family for many, many years had worshipped Baal. That family for many, many years had went to that grove and knelt and bowed and prayed before Baal and was serving Baal and were so far out of the will of God, was lost and undone and on their way to hell. And that was a stumbling block to Gideon's family. Maybe we're here today and we're believers. Maybe we're the one in our family. Maybe there's a few in our family that are saved, but many others that are lost. Can I encourage you, don't ever let a stumbling block get in between in your life and allow that to be a discouragement to the rest of your family. Don't ever let it happen. We have to be careful. Maybe today there's an idol in our life. And no, of course, we're not bowing down and worshiping a golden image, if you will. But maybe there's something in our lives that we've kind of let slip in and take a little bit of preeminence in our life. Maybe there's something there that we've kind of put ahead of God, and we've kind of put God a little bit on the back burner. Folks, we have to be careful of that because, like I said, God might be testing us in a few little small things, but he's got great big things planned. And all he's doing is saying, okay, if they're going to be faithful in the small things, if they're willing to cut down that grove, if they're willing to knock that idol out of their life and start serving me, I'm telling you, you have no idea the things that God could have planned for your life. Maybe you want to come down and pray for that. Maybe you want to come down and pray for somebody else tonight. Say, you know what, I know there's a person in my life, and I know they're not saved and they're lost. Or maybe they're saved, but they're out of God's will, and they got some idols or groves in their life that they need to cut down. Maybe you want to go ahead and pray for that. Go ahead and stand. And Brother Randy, what number do we got?
Page number 385.
385. Will you come?